Dave McGrath, The Morning Show with Greg Berg is next. And we welcome you to the Tuesday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. It's wall-to-wall music today on the Morning Show. Part one of today's program is going to feature a preview of two holiday concerts that are coming up by the Bell City Brass Works. In part two of today's program today, we'll be talking about the upcoming Candlelight Christmas Concert, which is Saturday night at First Presbyterian Church in downtown Racine. For part one, I'm so happy to be in the studios today with, first of all, Doug Johnson, who is the longtime director of the Bell City Brass Works, and what a tremendous ensemble this is. And also with him is Katie Humphrey, who is the president of the Board of Directors and also a proud member of the Bell City Brass Works in the French horn section. And we're talking, as I said, about two different concerts that are coming up, one tomorrow night, December 11th, and then one a week from tomorrow night on December 18th, in two of the most beautiful church sanctuaries in the city of Racine, I dare say. And we're going to be talking about these concerts specifically and also a little bit about the group itself and the wonderful musicians that comprise it. Doug Johnson, Katie Humphrey, we welcome both of you to the Morning Show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us, Greg.
That's great. Great to have you here. I don't think we need to spend a whole lot of time with this, but you were telling me something before we went on the air that I found really interesting, and I think our listeners would find this interesting as well. And that is, Katie, you've just moved in, or relatively recently moved into this position as president of the board, and that you have done some important work to try to get things maybe systemized and organized and sort of on track for the group to move forward. Just tell us about some of the things that you have tried to do as you've assumed the office of president of the group.
Well, one of the first things I did was get together a lot of the historical materials. I inherited a giant tub of old programs and things, and so I did compile kind of a fact sheet to kind of give people an idea of the composition of the group. The group was founded in 1988. Local musicians responded to an ad inviting them to participate, and I put the quote in because I thought it was kind of telling of the tone of the group. pucker up and bring your horn and a music stand. Bell City's going to have a brass band. 97 Reedy Musicians invited Wednesday, April 20th, 1988, and every Wednesday at Tradewinds Village, 1518 Washington, in Uptown Racine. Bring your brass down.
Mm.
And so they succeeded in putting that together, and we don't rehearse there anymore. But now we've grown up, and now we rehearse at Parkside, and we have a series of concerts through the year. We do a fall concert at Parkside. It was this year you emceed mm-hmm. it. It was awesome. We had a full house. It was wonderful. And then we've traditionally done these Christmas concerts, which, if you want to get in the Christmas spirit, this is the RX for that, because it definitely does the trick, not only for the audiences but the musicians as well. I mean, it's one of our favorite performances of the year. And then we do a spring show that's also our scholarship performances, and then we do a show in June to round out our season, and that's kind of a swing program out in Union Grove. And then we also do a performance at the cemetery Memorial Day. Mm. So that's kind of our year, how it goes. We currently play with 47 members, which is a lot of brass.
You bet it is. It's a mighty sound.
We have a big sound. Our demographics, we have 33 men and 9 women. So now you know what I like to go. That's it. And we did a poll of our musicians at a recent rehearsal to find out how long everybody's been in the group. So we've got 4 that have been in 1 year, 10 that have been in 2 to 5 years, 5 that have been 6 to 10 years, 7 that have been 11 to 20 years, and 14 of us more than 20 years.
Mm. And I know that one of the things that's especially amazing is the span of age.
That's right.
That you have.
That's right. Explain
who the youngest is, and explain who the oldest is.
Yeah. So the young pups are 26. And we've got a member that's going to be turning 97 on December 15th.
Wow, just amazing.
He's a trumpet player, and he's incredible. Mm. Ralph Morrison is his name, and he's fantastic.
So, Doug Johnson, this letter that went out back in 1988, that came from you, right?
No, that did not come from me back in 1988. That came from, let's see, it was Kenny Norman was involved in it at that time. And so was
Gary King.
Thank you very much. We're working our mind here this morning. Yeah, but those were the guys that started to put the group together back then. I attended that first rehearsal, and I played for a little bit, but then I got very involved in some other programs in Racine. Then a few years later, I got invited back to play. But it started in 1988, and we have one original member still with it, Bill Stearns, who made the first rehearsal and has been there ever since. I've known Bill since 1968 when he and I were in the Elks Youth Band together.
Wow. So one of the things that is interesting about who is sitting in those chairs playing is that there are so many educators. And, of course, you yourself, of course, are a music educator yourself, now semi-retired. But but I should think that is something that makes it – it's one reason why the group is so good – and also why there's kind of an interesting chemistry that's about the group.
The chemistry in the group is fantastic with all these musicians. We've got so many similar histories in different cities, from different cities, and the experiences are so similar. But it's just a love of music and a love of playing. But I will tell you, that first rehearsal that I ran, and I stood up in front of a group with all these musicians, and all of them, so many of them being band directors or professional musicians, and wondering what they were going to think of me in that first rehearsal when I went to run it. But it was just one rehearsal, and we were all friends and ready to get going to make some great music, and it's been fun ever since.
So what year was that you became the director?
That was 27 years ago, so I'd have to do my own counting back. But yeah, 27 years ago.
Very good.
Yeah.
So, as you said, there's 47 members right now.
Right.
Is it a very prescribed balance in terms of I want this many trumpets and this many trombones and so on?
If we were doing a traditional brass band, there is an expected enrollment in the group that you would have three horns and two euphoniums and two baritones and just certain amounts, so three trombones and four tubas or two tubas. But we have opened it up more than that to let anybody that wants to come in and join with us, who's played a brass instrument, to come and play. So we've expanded sections. Sometimes we've had up to seven French horns. Right now
wow.
We're at four. We have had times when we've had eight trombones. Right now we have, I think, over 20 cornets. But the sound, even though it's all brass instruments, and I always get this question from people about how can you sit in front of a group with that many players? That's way too loud, way too loud. Well, they know how to play really soft. And because they know how to play really soft, we can play all types of music and make some fantastic sounds. We can play loud when we need to, and we do that at certain points in the concert, and no one will sleep through our concert. I'll tell you that right now.
I think that's very safe to say.
Yes, well, you know, we like to have a lot of fun with it. One of the pieces we're doing is Russian Christmas music by Alfred Reed, which is one of the standards in band literature, and it has been rearranged for brass band. It is a fantastic piece of music, and it will just carry the audience off to a beautiful memory of sounds of chimes and bells from churches and all the big, beautiful music, sort of like Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture, as far as that goes, of freeing of Moscow and Ukraine and all of that. So it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of music. Mm.
We're talking today on the morning show with two people representing the Bell City Brass Works, Doug Johnson and Katie Humphrey, and we're talking about two holiday concerts that are coming up in the near future, one tomorrow night and one a week from tomorrow night, so December 11th and December 18th. Katie Humphrey, I'm sure that as board president, one of the things you've done a little bit of exploration of is the library. So what kind of a treasure trove are we talking about in terms of the amount of music that this group possesses and can access for concerts like this?
Well, we have a huge range of types of music. One would think that we're just doing straight classical brass music, which we do, but we also do a lot of swing and jazz, and we have a full percussion section that adds to our sound. This library has been built over the years. When they started, I think they had I can't remember the amount of music, but a small collection. But one of the founders, Ken Norman, was also a music arranger. Mm. And so he took a lot of music and wrote them himself. We end the concert. Our traditional way to end the concert is we do a Christmas sing-along, and that's an arrangement that Ken Norman did. But every concert we play at least a few of his arrangements.
Right.
He was prolific in writing music.
Yeah, our amount of music has really gone up quite a bit. I would say somewhere around 500 different selections that we've got at least in the files, plus many things by Kenny Norman that he wrote for arrangements for guest soloists that we've pulled in, professional solos from New York and Los Angeles and every place in between. Actually, even from Europe, because we brought in Stephen Mead as a euphonium specialist, who's the top euphonium player in Great Britain, and brought him to play with us twice. Fantastic musician, and just a great time to be able to connect with all these people.
Yeah.
I should mention, too, as a musician in the group, I play in several different groups, and a lot of the summer bands, we basically have a rehearsal, and then we play the concerts, and there's standard repertoire, and it's wonderful music, and I love it. Brassworks music, we come to the first rehearsal of the season and we read all the music, and it's hard. It's advanced music, and it's the kind of music where you've got to work at it. over time. And I don't know if I've ever told you this, Doug, but when we start these concert cycles, when we first read it, I think, oh my goodness, are we going to be able to pull this together for the concert? And we always do. And it's always magic. And I think that's one of the reasons people stay around, because we're being challenged. And the music we're making is really high caliber music.
Right.
And it takes effort and work.
So this is not a one done deal. You're you're not putting these concerts together on a single rehearsal.
No.
Considerably more than that. That's
right.
Great.
Yeah.
Doug, what kind of things do you think about in terms of making specific choices for instance, a holiday concert or any other kind of concert? I mean, does it have anything to do with who's there, who's not there? Or are you just thinking about other matters?
I'm just thinking about what's going to appeal to an audience, what's going to appeal to the musicians in the group, and to make sure I have a nice variety of music so that we can take you through all the emotions, because music just grabs you and wrings the emotions out of you, and that's what we try to do. Now, this Christmas concert is going to have time for reflection. There's going to be time for absolute joy and always hope, and that's what the season's all about, is the hope of a better tomorrow. And that's what I love about doing this. We play some extremely difficult brass band music at times. On our concert in March, we're going to be doing some music from Scotland and from Ireland and from England just makes you feel like you're sitting in the countryside watching the world go by and watching the people enjoy life and enjoy the scenery and the life to go. So that's my primary way of picking music. I just want to make sure that we are challenged, but it's always quality music. It's not just something simple pop music to play. Or it's really fun music, because our last concert that we did an all-jazz concert, which you hadn't done that for years, and the band swung. Even the French horn section was able to swing, which is always a challenge for classically trained musicians to learn how to swing. So we had a great time with that.
Absolutely. That was a concert that was at UW Parkside, and it featured a very special guest soloist in Mark Miller, wonderful trombonist, and it was so fun to see him on TV in the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. I forget who he played for. Jennifer Hudson, I think.
Okay. Yep.
And but anyway, he had posted something on Facebook about this is what he was going to be doing, and sure enough, there he was, and thinking, wow, we were just on the same stage at the Francis Bedford Concert Hall, and there he is. And, of course, trumpeter Russ Johnson, such a wonderful musician, also a special guest for that memorable concert. So now we have these two holiday concerts coming up, one tomorrow night, one a week from tomorrow night, and in two really beautiful church sanctuaries. And I've had the pleasure of hearing the Bell City Brassworks play in both of these beautiful spaces. So just talk for a moment about what a difference that makes in terms of where you play these various concerts.
That is one thing I really have to pay attention to. I know that the acoustics in different places, the way we set it up to make sure that we don't overpower the house, and also that we get a nice way of blending the sounds. It's so beautiful to be able to play in these two sanctuaries. And we'd also played
Sacred Heart.
For quite a few years. In fact, we were invited to Sacred Heart many years ago by George Baumgart, who was the choir director at that church, and who I went to college with. And we played with George and their choir for quite a few years until George's passing, and we were still playing at Sacred Heart, just doing the concerts there. But this year we had the opportunity to come to Holy Communion, and I've always wanted to get back there to play there again, because, again, the acoustics and the visuals for everyone in the audience, it's going to be fantastic. And you can't do better for hope, as far as building hope in people, is to be on the Church on the Hill and the hope that's included at Holy Communion. So I think it's just a perfect setting for it to build that holiday spirit in everyone, no matter where you come from.
Sure.
In both cases, it's a very intimate setting. And we feel it in the band, too. And that makes a difference. People sitting within a couple feet of you is a very different experience, and it really creates a connection. And there's a reverence, of course, to being in a sacred place when you're, you know, preparing for Christmas.
Sure. So we want to make sure people know that Living Faith Church is at 2915 Wright Avenue. And, boy, I should know the address for Holy Communion because it's my own church. It's
2000
West 6th Street.
Yeah.
West 6th Street, but right. the church on the hill that it's right. sometimes known. So Living Faith is tomorrow night, and Holy Communion is a week from tomorrow night. Right. We're talking with Katie Humphrey and Doug Johnson about these two holiday concerts that are coming up to be presented by the Bell City Brass Works. Doug, maybe we can just take a moment to run down. We don't maybe have to go through every single piece, but give us a sense of exactly the repertoire that's going to be on this Christmas concert.
As I alluded to earlier, we're doing Russian Christmas music. We're doing the Christmas sing-along at the end of the program, but we're doing many other arrangements. It's kind of funny this year. Didn't plan it this way, but so many of the songs start with Christmas, the name Christmas in them. I think there were seven things in the titles that we have that. But we're doing a Christmas Troika, which is built off of riding a sleigh with three horses, and it's just a gorgeous little piece of music. We're doing the Huron Carol, which is one of the oldest, it is the oldest carol in Canada, written for the by the Huron people and a Jesuit priest back in the 1600s. And we go all the way to Frosty the Snowman.
Which is not quite that old.
No, not quite that old, and more of a pop piece of music, and it's a bass trombone feature, and it's just fun to listen to.
It's more jazzy, too.
Yeah, jazzy piece, yeah. And God Rest You, Merry Gentlemen, which was a piece written by William Himes, arranged by William Himes for the Chicago Staff Band of the Salvation Army. And it's a jazz-based piece of that. So we come from the music from so many different directions, to jazz, to classical, to pop, and put it all together into this concert. The other piece is a Christmas piece. You'll hear Joy to the World and many different pieces that we do. It's just a lot of fun Christmas-centered music.
Yeah, it looks like a lovely, lovely program. And again, that's going to be tomorrow night and a week from tomorrow night. Katie, I wanted to finish up by having you talk for a moment about another really intriguing part of the fact sheet you put together. And this is one of those things where I sort of knew it was true, and yet to kind of read it and realize to the extent that it's true, is the fact that although we talked earlier about all the music educators that are part of this group, that the occupations that are represented among those 47 members is really astonishing.
Right, right. There's, you know, everyone's got a day job. There's a lot of retirees in the group too, but we've got one of our, this comes on the first list, retired Rugrat Wrangler, so you can use your imagination of what that is. Music store owner, retired dentist, retired hardware store owner, retired instrumental music teacher we talked about, electric gas service designer, vice president of LeBlanc Company, retired video editor, retired paint chemist, software designer, retail clerk, marketing vice president, in-home pet care, CNA, vet assistant, retired beer salesman, and it goes on and on.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, and you know, people that you know, you do your day job, and then you come to rehearsal, and as you know, who has time for any TV? What's that?
Yeah,
right? So, you know, a lot of us play in other groups as well.
Sure.
And so we're playing a lot and enjoying our time together. Doug and I are talking ahead of time. A lot of our social circles are music people. We kind of hang out. That's where we're comfortable. And it's just so gratifying as a musician to be part of a group like this.
Absolutely. So explain the whole matter of tickets for tomorrow night's concert.
You know what? You
week.
Don't need one.
Yeah.
You don't need one. It's absolutely free. You come on in, take your seat. There is a free will offering, but it's low stress. We really just want people to come and enjoy the experience.
Fantastic. So we hope a lot of people are marking their calendars right now for these two concerts. The first one is tomorrow evening at Living Faith Church on 2915 Wright Avenue. The second concert a week from Wednesday night is at Holy Communion Lutheran Church. Both concerts at 7 p.m., both in absolutely beautiful, beautiful sanctuaries, and a wonderful opportunity to enjoy the stunning music making of the Bell City Brass Works. Katie Humphrey will be part of the French horn section, the Woo-hoo! Hardworking president of the board. And speaking of hardworking, Doug Johnson will be on the podium conducting both of these concerts. Thank you both for being here. It was great to talk with you. Best wishes to you and all of the talented members of Bell City Brass Works.
Thanks so much, Greg.
You're welcome. You're listening to the Tuesday Morning Show on WGTD, and part two is coming up in just a moment. And we welcome you back to the Tuesday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg, and for part two of today's program, I'm very happy to welcome back into our studios Pat Badger, a very well-known name to many of you. Speaking of wonderful brass players, she's one of the best trumpeters I've ever met, ever known, but she's not here to talk about trumpet playing, or at least I don't think so. She is the co-producer of the Music and More Candlelight Christmas Concert that is going to be coming up this Saturday evening in the beautiful sanctuary of First Presbyterian Church in downtown Racine. And another very well-known local musician, Mark Paffrath, is also with us, and he is on the program for Saturday night's concert. So we are looking forward to having a conversation with the two of them about all of the beautiful music that is going to be offered up to the community this Saturday evening. Pat Badger and Mark Paffrath, we welcome you both back to the morning show.
Hi, Greg. Thank you.
Good to have you here. So, Pat, take us back almost 365 days to what was the very first Christmas candlelight concert at First Presbyterian Church. Tell us kind of how that came into being and how very well it went.
Well, Greg, I will trumpet this concert to you. Last year, as you say, 365 days ago, Music and More, which is really a summer series, inaugurated the first candlelight concert. And the historic First Presbyterian Church sanctuary was filled with candlelight, and a huge crowd came to this first concert. And I was thinking, why was it so packed with people? And I think there's something in us all that seeks light in the dark at this time of year, especially where we are in this winter time of year. I think it goes back just decades and millenniums. Why do we seek the light? Why do we gather around campfires in the summer? Why do we light candles on our tables? And I think this candlelight concert at First Pres, December 14th, next Saturday, really speaks to that. While the dark enfolds us, we're just drawn and we lean in to the light. What I know about candlelight concerts, it's really a, it came from a corporate thing, actually. In 2019, there was a group called Fever that started having these candlelight concerts in cities like Chicago and New York and cities in Spain. And they would find a venue that was somehow historic or significant in an area, but not a concert hall. And they would get local musicians to play. And they would have hundreds of candles. And it was not only visually arresting, but it was also music that people might not expect to hear without a conductor. It was just players playing in that atmospheric place. And so the candlelight concert this Saturday comes out of that tradition, but we're a church. We're not a corporate group, but First Pres is a space that's significant architecturally and also historically as an underground Network to Freedom Railroad site. So we're using local musicians, and we're presenting music without a conductor. So we're really keeping the spirit of the original candlelight concerts.
Love that. Well, last year's was certainly exquisite in so many different ways, and I'm sure that this is going to be as well. And I know that one of the things you are especially excited about is the participation of the talented gentleman sitting to your left. Tell us about your longtime connection with Mark Paffrath.
So Mark and I go back over 50 years, and we've managed groups together, produced events together, made music together, and currently every Sunday as a family unit along with the First Presbyterian music team, we are the First Pres music makers. And that's a true delight of my life. And so in the candlelight concert, Mark is going to sing his own folk set, but he's also going to do a piece that we've done many times together that means a lot to both of us, called In the Bleak Midwinter.
Oh, yeah.
And what I've wanted to do this for years, I know an English country dance to that tune. And so four dancers from the Racine International Folk Dancers will be dancing an English country dance while Mark is singing.
Whoa.
In candlelight.
Yeah, that just, I mean, I've rehearsed with the dancers a couple of times now, and that just brings a whole another dimension to it. It just turns it into a whole different thing.
Wow. Yeah, that's exciting. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Mark, what else are you going to be doing on Saturday night's concert?
I'll be doing that, the piece we just spoke of, In the Bleak Midwinter, which is a long, long-time favorite of mine. I'll be doing another song that actually Pat brought to me several years ago called Night Hymn. And it's just a really elegantly haunting tune, you know, about being in the night and also, you know, how it relates to not being in light. It's a really, really neat tune, and I'll be doing that with two other women singers from the church. And I'll be doing an old Pete Seeger song called Snow, Snow, which I've been also doing almost my whole life. And also a tune that was brought to me that I'm not that familiar with called Christmas Dinner. It's a Peter, Paul, and Mary tune. So,
wow, just when you think you know every Christmas song that exists, yeah. you rattle off three or four really, that I have yeah. no idea even exist, and yeah. I'm very, very excited to know more about them. I suppose when you get an invitation like this, I mean, you have this whole universe of possibilities, but it sounds like you've gravitated to some Christmas songs that are very, very close to your heart.
Right. And some of them are more, a lot of songs we do around Christmas are kind of winter songs, mm-hmm. you know, and so these are maybe more winter songs, but some Christmas ones too, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Someone said to me, actually last night, they said, oh, this candlelight concert, I suppose there'll be a lot of Christmas carols and hymns. I said, no, actually, that's not what it is. For instance, we're lucky enough to have the founder of Music and More, Randy Bush, and his partner, wife, Beth Bush. And Randy's going to play a Brahms intermezzo, a Schubert impromptu, and a Scriabin nocturne.
Wow.
And he's just an excellent, excellent.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And we're going to do a Mannheim Steamroller Chip Davis Silent Night, which is an instrumental. Just things that you wouldn't necessarily traditionally hear at this kind of
right.
time.
Right. Or a couple of favorites, but in untraditional fashion.
Correct.
Love that. I love that. Yeah, for those that maybe don't know. Actually, why don't you explain to our listeners, there might be listeners who don't necessarily know who Randy Bush is and his longtime connection to First Presbyterian Church.
Randy Bush is a talented pianist and a wonderful man of faith. Randy Bush was pastor at First Presbyterian in the 90s and 2000s. I think he was at First Pres for 12 years, and Randy played all the Gershwin concertos with Racine Symphony.
Yes.
He's a concert pianist.
And he also started the Music and More series,
and
right?
He started the Music and More series, which is a series of summer concerts with local performers who, there are three performers each Thursday night during the summer. And all the proceeds from the Music and More.
Thursday noon,
thanks. All the proceeds from Music and More are given to local charities, social service agencies, and usually there are three groups that we give the donations to. So it's evolved that it supports local musicians, it supports the community, it provides entertainment. It's just, it's a fabulous thing. And Randy's idea was the impetus for this series, which has lasted 30 years.
Right. And it must be so gratifying for him to see it flourishing all of these years later from its somewhat humble beginnings. Although, in a lot of ways, what Music and More is very much what it was even right at the outset, even that model of kind of a three-act noontime performance experience. It was a wonderful idea, and it is with us still, and we're so glad that it is. So who else is going to be participating in Saturday night's concert?
Linda Schlitz is also singing, and that's another aspect of this concert. She's coming with her piano, bass, and drum trio that she sings with. She'll be singing some more contemporary things as well as some traditional things. Choral Arts will be there, and they are singing their pieces, their set, ringed around the audience. So they will embrace the audience. So there'll be things in the front of the room and things around, surround sound, if you will. There are 11 fifth graders who volunteered from the Prairie School to do an Israeli candle dance that I've been teaching them. And so they, in candlelight, they will do this dance, a tradition not of their culture. So there are some cultural things that are part of this.
Poetry.
Poetry, spoken word is being read. Do I have time to read something, Greg?
Sure, absolutely.
So this poem, to me, kind of encapsulates what this concert is about. I first heard this at a Revels production in Boston, and it's by Susan Cooper. It's called The Shortest Day. And so the shortest day came, and the year died, and everywhere down the centuries of the snow-white world came people singing, dancing, to drive the dark away. They lighted candles in the winter trees. They hung their homes with evergreen. They burned beseeching fires all night long to keep the year alive. And when the New Year's sunshine blazed awake, they shouted, reveling. Through all the frosty ages, you can hear them echoing behind us. Listen. All the long echoes sing the same delight this shortest day. As promise wakens in the sweet sleeping land, they carol, feast, give thanks, and dearly love their friends, and hope for peace. And so do we, here, now.
Wow. It's like she was at the last year's concert. That is such a perfect description of what this concert wants to be, or is intended to be.
And I'd just like to say that you, Greg, were part of starting the tradition of last year's concert because you performed.
I was very privileged to be part of that. It was a really, really special night, and so glad and look forward someday to being a part of it again. Mark Paffrath, talk for a moment about the experience of performing in that particular space, that particular sanctuary that, you know, in many ways is home to you in more ways than one, but particularly just as a room in which to make music, and especially in a setting like this.
Well, it's unbelievable for a performer. I mean, I always say, and I think other people have concurred, that, you know, you could have a performance in there, which I guess obviously they did when it was first built, with no amplification at all. And I think people could hear almost every nuance. It's so acoustically pure. So that part of it is just amazing. But of course, it's an amazing place to be, just to be, you know, housed in that place that has seen so much and so much history and so many people and so many decades gone by and just so many things that happened there. I mean, it's just that feeling of being in there in that place is another amazing thing, you know. And I think too that events like this, just as Pat was saying, just kind of draw people there out of some sort of a need, you know, just to be there. And I think people just so much need this kind of thing as a tradition, as a yearly thing that they can look forward to. And, you know, being a part of that is just, yeah, it's great. It's great all the way around. Mm. It really is. Yeah.
Pat, tell us about the putting it all together, and not only the, you know, invitations for various musicians to participate, but then also the shaping of the evening in order to give it a sense of flow and cohesion and all of that. I mean, it's the kind of thing that when you're an audience member just sitting there, it just sort of happens like a miracle. But of course, that isn't exactly how it happens.
The nuts and bolts of it are that Georgia Hall, who really runs Music and More, and is an incredible organizer and detail genius. Georgia Hall and I get together and we talk about the kinds of things we'd like to have in this year's concert, and the kinds of words we would want said, the kinds of flow we're looking for, and putting it together is a little bit of an art, because it's not just one group doing a set of pieces. It's melding together what you might think of as disparate groups who don't usually relate to one another. Yet when they're in this candlelight format, in this atmosphere, I think if you get the flow right, you can have classical music, folk music, songs of the season, sacredly songs of the season, winter. You can have things that are perhaps opposites become one together, and it feels right. And I actually think in this particular moment in our history, in our lives, I think we need things that bring disparate elements together, and there's a commonality that we can sense and feel that's not talked to us, that's not dragooned into our face, but that we gather and we can be together. We have the power to be together. I think that's a really sacred thing.
Sure.
And I think it's something we need right now.
Yeah, more important than ever, just for our survival. So this concert is coming up this Saturday evening, 7?
7 o'clock, First Presbyterian Church. You can get tickets at the door, but you can also go to First Pres Racine, the website, and right on there you can get tickets. They're $15, and there's an added bonus.
And what is that?
Yeah, if you say you can't forget to mention.
No. If you come to this concert, well, Greg, speaking of organizing, I have to say that I somehow managed to get numerous First Pres and OBUC, that's Olympia Brown Unitarian Universalist Church, I somehow managed to get a lot of people to bake a lot of cookies.
Ah.
And so for $10, you can take home a box of homemade cookies.
Ah. That is a bonus worth talking about. So that's kind of after the festivities tomorrow evening, then, or Saturday evening.
You can buy them before, but you can't eat them during the concert. That's the temptation.
Absolutely. So we hope everyone will have plenty of character and fortitude to wait for the cookies until afterwards. So sounds like a wonderful night, 7 o'clock again at First Presbyterian Church in downtown Racine. I think that's 716 College Avenue.
You're right.
I am right. And Pat Badger and Mark Paffrath are with us today. Pat Badger, the co-coordinator of this event with Georgia Hall, and Mark Paffrath, one of the talented musicians who is going to be featured on Saturday evening's concert. Thank you so much for joining us today to talk about what promises to be a really special night of music and fellowship at First Presbyterian Church with the second annual Candlelight Christmas Concert. Thank you for being here to talk about it. Tomorrow on the morning show, an interesting interview with author Debbie Slevin and her book called Unpregnant Pause, which takes a very thoughtful examination of lowering birth rates and the fact that fewer and fewer people are choosing to have children or choosing to have fewer children than was once the case. And she explores some of the different things that are going on that are leading people to make some of these choices. On Thursday, Kaylin Palomares pays her monthly visit to the program, and with her will be two of her colleagues from Racine County to talk about what is conservation. And on Friday, we'll be talking about the upcoming Sing-Along Messiah, which is coming up this Sunday evening, 6 o'clock at First United Methodist Church in downtown Kenosha. We'll be here with Jessica DeBoer. The morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. Today is going to be cloudy and somewhat cold. A high temperature today of 35 degrees. Our overnight low will be 23. Tomorrow we show a 40% chance of some light snow with a high of 29 degrees. Much colder on Thursday with a high of just 16 degrees. But then we warm up into the mid-30s for a daytime high. It looks like through most of the weekend with also a chance of some light snow on Friday and some rain-snow mix likely on Saturday. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.